Folks, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them to the book of 1 Thessalonians. The last chapter in that book is where we're going to look this morning in just a few moments. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And so last week we started a new series together. It was called the You Asked For It series. And so if you've not heard about this series yet, we've put this together over the course of the last couple of months with the questions that you actually have. That's why it's called You Asked For It. And so when we started off in January, you all were given in the bulletin one Sunday these little slips of paper that had the You Asked For It logo on them. And then you were able to get some at the information booth or during our State of the Church survey. You were able to suggest things that you'd like to hear the lead pastor preach about and teach about. Because the worst thing would be for a pastor to be addressing questions and issues that were far from the minds of the people. And so this series is everything you have asked for. And so if it gets to the place where it's uncomfortable or difficult, I reminded you last week, you asked for it. So that'll be my out. Last week we started off fairly easy. Last week we started off with the question, how do I pray? And that's a question that came in once, but surely it was a question that's on the hearts and minds of more than just one person. How do we pray? And so if you missed that, you can check it out on the podcast. You can find the podcast on iTunes or on our website or probably any Android podcast broadcaster on your phones as well, even though Apple is clearly superior. Right, Ryan? Ryan agrees back there as well. We saw how great Apple brought us an international FaceTime this morning. It's fantastic. But if you check out the podcast, you'll see that last week we looked at the Lord's Prayer as a template for teaching us to pray. And the Lord's Prayer is a great thing to look at for this purpose because it was put there on purpose to teach the disciples how to pray. And so when we pray, we can praise. We can, oh Lord God, hallowed be your name. We can pray about purpose, thy will be done. We can pray about need. Give us this day our daily bread. We pray about forgiveness. Forgive us our temptations or forgive us our trespasses, sorry, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And we pray about temptation. Lead us not into temptation. And so no longer do we have nothing to pray for, but we have five different things that we can allow the Spirit of God to stir in our hearts as we call out to Him. So that was last week. This week, as I promised, we're going to be looking at this topic. And I've called this week, Was That Word From the Lord? And if it was, how can I know? Because when we talk about hearing from God, whether hearing from God through another person, if a person says, I just feel that the Lord has put this on my heart to share with you, or sometimes we're praying for a particular answer and we think we have a direction in our minds, but we're just not sure if we are making it up or if it's the Lord that has put it there, we want to know in each of these cases, whether it's us and God or us and another person, we want to know, was that from the Lord? And if it is from the Lord, how can we tell? Well, we're talking about in some cases here when another individual has a word for a church or a word for us personally is what the scriptures call prophecy, or was that word prophetic? Now, the word prophecy has kind of no English equivalent. In Greek, it's prophetes, and we just say it with an English accent, prophecy. It has no English equivalent, but what it means is this. It means prophecy is the word of God for the moment. So this morning in Foundations, we talked very briefly about prophecy. Prophecy has a content and a time. It's the right message that God would have for the right time. That is a prophecy. And in scriptures, we see a prophet is one who delivers the word of God for the moment or the mouthpiece of the Lord. And so despite the difficulty that we might pop up into from time to time in discerning whether or not a word is prophetic in the sense that it aligns with what God is speaking or not, regardless of the difficulty we have discerning, was that prophetic, we need to pay close attention, because we need not to ignore what the Spirit might be speaking to us through other people and through words that the Spirit gives us into our mind. But we're going to talk about how to know this morning. Some people question whether prophecy, personal prophecy, is even a biblical thing. I didn't realize some people might question that, but they do. But we can see throughout Scripture that personal and corporate prophecy are things that the Apostle Paul in the New Testament has encouraged, and we see that in the Old Testament this is spoken of as well in terms of corporate prophecy. Corporate, I mean for everybody, and personal, I mean just for me. In the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians 14, the Apostle Paul encourages the believers to earnestly desire prophecy above all other gifts. Now, there's a context there. The Corinthian church was favoring speaking in tongues in a public gathering, uninterpreted, over words of prophecy, and Paul was encouraging them that prophecy is more profitable. But he also affirms the value and the role of tongues personally and corporately when they are interpreted. Paul told the people in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 14 that true prophetic ministry can expose the secrets of men's hearts and bring them to repentance. And Paul in the book of Colossians to the church there encouraged an individual, tell Archippus, make sure that you fulfill the ministry that you have received, Colossians 4:17. A really short but meaningful exhortation to this friend. And Proverbs in the Old Testament 25:11 says this, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Now, having said all that, we understand that sometimes in our lives we've encountered people or words or things that just did not seem to align with God's purposes. Perhaps it was less prophetic and just simply the words of a person. I read an account when I was preparing this week of a local church pastor who was sharing just his discouragement with this ministry of the church, this idea of sharing words from the Lord. When he said this, he said before he had an evangelist at his church minister, the evangelist was just talking with him in conversation about the local church, and he was sharing details of people who attended their church, just as kind of I would talk with folks that come in to share here about our church and some of the exciting things we were doing. And this pastor said he shared with disappointment and discouragement and frustration that when the evangelist got up, he began to speak as though he was speaking prophetically, but he was proclaiming the things that the pastor had just told him as though the word, as though the Lord had just said those things to him. And many people were amazed by that. Now, that is frustrating. And that's a misuse of what the Scripture talks about when it talks about prophecy or words. I mean, we see this in the book of Acts, chapter 8. Simon the sorcerer, who went around and was able to wow people with sorcery. And then he saw Peter and John laying hands on people, and they were being filled with the Holy Spirit, and he offered money to buy that power too. The gifts of God or the word of God or the prophecy of the Lord is not meant for personal gain. It cannot be purchased, and it does not lift us up or elevate us. We are simply servants when we hear from the Lord and when we deliver it. We know it is sometimes abused, but what do we do? Do we turn away from it altogether? That would be like throwing the baby out with the bathwater. No, Paul, in the book of 1 Thessalonians, gives the church some very poignant examples of how we can know, was that from the Lord or not? 1 Thessalonians 5, we're going to read a couple of verses together. Verses 16 to 18. My PowerPoint disagrees with my notes, but the PowerPoint is right. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18 says this in his closing instructions to the church. Paul says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Verse 19, I guess we do have to go beyond my PowerPoint. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. And may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, as we look into this word to the church that Paul gave to the Thessalonians, I just pray that from this, we will derive encouragement that we can hear from you, Lord God. That despite the doubts that may have circulated at some times and just the things and the areas and the ways that we have seen perhaps this ministry of the church, this biblical scriptural ministry misused, nevertheless, your word gives us instructions for how to move forward responsibly and in line with you. So use this morning, Lord, to lift us up and to speak to us. In the name of Christ, we pray together. Amen. So Paul says here in verse 19, he says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. And then in verse 20, he says, do not treat prophecies with contempt. If I would sum that up this morning, if I would state that another way, I would encourage this. I'd say, let's not be quick to push off what another has shared with us that the Spirit of God has done or spoken through with them. Let's not be quick to put it off. Instead, let's consider it carefully. There must have been a tendency in the church of the Thessalonians to avoid what Paul has called here the fire of the Holy Spirit. Now, we can't assume that he meant and that they meant exactly what we think they meant when it says fire of the Holy Spirit. Nevertheless, Paul follows it up with a word of caution on prophecy. He says, do not treat prophecies or words for the moment through people with contempt, simply because something might be inconvenient or difficult, or simply because it may have sometimes been presented in a clumsy fashion. Paul says, let's not rush to judgment. Let's not treat prophecies with contempt as if they are no good, as if they are not necessary and not useful. Instead, he says, verse 21, two-word sentence, test everything. Hold on to the good and avoid every kind of evil. How do we test everything? How do we hold on to the good? Well, here is a first principle. When we're hearing a word from someone else, both corporately and personally, here is the first way that we can test everything. The first way is this: consider the source. Is this person trustworthy? Now let me unpack this for us. In the Old Testament, we understand that a prophet and a prophecy that is allegedly from the Lord would bear fruit immediately. If an individual claimed to have a word from the Lord, that word that they have shared would bear fruit and be seen to be valid, something in the short term. And then once we see that they have indeed shared something that was valid in the short term, we could then trust them with other things. You can turn with me back to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 28 illustrates this principle of consider the source, is the person trustworthy, quite well. Jeremiah 28 is the story of Hananiah, which in your Bibles it'll say the false prophet Hananiah, and we get a glimpse at how this was determined in Jeremiah 28. So Jeremiah 28 verses 1 to 4 says this: in the fifth month of the same year, the fourth year, early in the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, the prophet Hananiah, son of Azur, who is from Gibeon, said to me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and all the people. And so Jeremiah is reporting, prophet Hananiah, in the company of all kinds of people, said this. Verse 2. He said, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 years, I will bring back to this place all the articles of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, removed from here and took to Babylon. I will also bring back this place Jehoiachin, son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and all the other exiles from Judah who went to Babylon, declares the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Hananiah shared this word with all kinds of people in a public setting. Now consider the context. The nation of Israel had been enslaved by the Babylonians. They had been captured. Everything they had been taken away. It had been smashed, and they had been put in slavery under the Babylonians. This word from the Lord that Hananiah proclaimed would have been fantastic news, but they had to test first to see, was this from the Lord? Jeremiah's response to this, verses 8 and 9 of Jeremiah 28. Jeremiah was there too, and Jeremiah said this from verse 8. From the early times, the prophets who preceded you and me have prophesied war, disaster, and plague against many countries and great kingdoms. But the prophet who prophesies peace will be recognized as only truly sent by the Lord if his prediction comes true. So Hananiah and Jeremiah bickered back and forth a little bit, but essentially they were trying to determine this, and the whole court of people that heard this were trying to determine this. Consider the source. Is this person trustworthy? And they came to a resolution. You can read Jeremiah 28. It's a fascinating back and forth between Jeremiah and Hananiah, but it comes to resolution like this in verse 15. The prophet Jeremiah said to Hananiah the prophet, listen, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, yet you have persuaded this nation to trust in lies. Jeremiah is saying this, I don't think that what you shared is from the Lord, and Jeremiah is going to back this up. He says, this is what the Lord says. I am about to remove you from the face of the earth. This very year you are going to die because you have preached rebellion against the Lord. And then they had to wait and see what was from the Lord. In the Old Testament, the next verse says, in the seventh month of that same year, Hananiah the prophet died. That's severe for claiming to have heard from the Lord. Peace didn't come as Hananiah said it would. Death did come as Jeremiah said it would. And therefore, in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel realized that the prophet Jeremiah was trustworthy in this, had heard from the Lord in this, and therefore he could be trusted with other things. And in fact, there's an entire book called Jeremiah in our Old Testament, the collections of the words of the Lord that he had heard together. And therefore, the first way that we can test to see is this from the Lord is to consider the source. Is this person trustworthy? Have they demonstrated the character of the Lord through them in the past? Have they demonstrated an ability to hear from God accurately in the past? Many years ago, when I was trying to make a very important decision and I wasn't sure what to do, I felt the Lord telling me this. One of the very few times I've really felt a very clear sense of a sentence that the Lord has shared with me. He said this, trust the advice of praying Christian friends. Simple, but it was profound in that moment. I had to trust the advice of praying Christian friends. Now, it's difficult to consider the source when it's not from a person or an individual that we would know personally. Now, when we are together in our local church, we know each other at a level of intimacy. But what about Christian teachers and authors and writers who we know by name and fame, but we may not know them personally? How do we consider the source, or how do we determine if their words are trustworthy? Well, I can tell you one place not to go find out is Google or Facebook or any social media for that matter. Because on Google, everybody's a heretic, according to somebody. In fact, I tested this out this week. If you Google, and you can try this, if you Google Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada heresy, you'll get a list that lists us as a heretical denomination. And if we are, we'd better quickly run. But in fact, we're not. And in fact, as I did that, just to test it out this week, the number two item in my Google search was a really scathing blog post about a church in our own district and a lead pastor who currently still serves in that church about how he had gone completely off from the Word of God and the church was all but apostate. And so on Google, everyone's a heretic, so let's not do that. Social media, Google, they're not always valid tellers of the truth, but let's look at different things. Fruit of the Spirit, demonstrating in the life of a person, the love, the peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, the character and the reputation in the community and in the church. Do other trusted friends trust this voice? The fruit of an individual's ministry with others. There are people in my life that I would trust what they say almost without question, because their life has proven that to me. And there's other people that maybe they're great, maybe they're fantastic, but I don't know them, and I don't know. And so we test the spirits, or we test everything, as Paul says in Thessalonians. And if I cannot find a track record of proven ministry, if I cannot find others who would vouch and would say that, yes, this is an individual who hears from God, and if I cannot find that, then there would be question marks around what a person says to me in my own life. Many years ago, when I was pastoring in Kentville with David and Carol Slonwaite, there was a gentleman who walked in at the end of a Wednesday night prayer meeting. He was just traveling through. He walked in, and he at the very end, he just walked in. Nobody had seen him before ever, and he just began to pray in tongues out loud, and then he interpreted and gave a message for the church, and then he said, okay, I'm done here, and he turned to walk out. Glad I wasn't the lead pastor then. I'd have no idea what to do. David Slonwaite knew what to do. He chased the guy into the foyer and said, into my office right now. He wanted to test what was going on. We didn't know who this gentleman was at all. And there wasn't really anything wrong with what he said. In fact, it was probably so general, I forget the specifics of it now. Yet, David wanted to consider the source. And when people talk later and ask him later as their lead pastor, what was that all about? And what do we do with that? He wanted as a leader in the church to have an answer for that. And so in the same way as considering the source and is the person trustworthy, we have to realize too that all of us, We have our own preferred ways of being spoken to and of being handled. I know when my wife and I did the Berkman testing, it's a personality testing that our district in Ontario has used when individuals are ordained, just to understand how they work with teams and work well in churches. I've understood that I like to give things directly and I like to have them given to me directly. In fact, if I think people are trying to, beat around the bush, I might think the people are trying to deceive me or hide something from me. And so we all have our particular quirks. Some of us are more quiet and reserved, and we would prefer that someone speak to us and preach and share the word of God in mannerisms that are more in line with our preferences. Others of us are more loud, and we would prefer that people speak loudly. And when they prophesy and when they preach, we prefer loud. And this is huge, because I realized at one point several years ago in ministry, I realized this, that
and you might not have realized this, but consider this. If one of the Old Testament prophets came to Evangel Assembly today, I think, depending on which one it was, we might be inclined to brush them aside to give them the address to the Haley Road down there, and they can go down there and bless Pastor AJ, if indeed one of the Old Testament prophets. I mean, think of this. When you read the book of Ezekiel, if you've never done this, do it, because it's fascinating and slightly disturbing all at the same time. Because that man was different. Now, if you've read it, you'll understand what I mean. He was not like you and I. And in fact, if you had run into Ezekiel on the sidewalk in Yarmouth, I'm willing to bet you would consider crossing the road to go on the other side. He would not be on our shortlist for Thanksgiving rally speaker, likely. I mean, Ezekiel chapter 4, verse 12, that says that Ezekiel was given instructions from the Lord, and he did this. He was to cook food in the street using his own human excrement for fuel and then eat it, the food. I know, I mean, as if it could get worse. I mean, my mom, when we have bonfires at my parents' house, she doesn't let the kids roast marshmallows over the flames if my dad is throwing some gas in to get it started. Or occasionally the kids will get excited and they'll throw a plastic bag in. She doesn't let them roast marshmallows over the flame that is made by a plastic bag or by gasoline. Can you imagine what she would say about Ezekiel? He's burning human excrement on the street and cooking over it. And can you imagine if there was a gentleman on Main Street Yarmouth doing that right now, and I invited him to come here and be the guest speaker at Evangel Assembly for the Thanksgiving rally? Can you imagine the feedback I'd have from all of you? Just allow your mind to wander for a moment. I mean, you'd say, first of all, that man is just not right. That man is not normal. That man needs help. That can't be healthy. And then this is where it comes down to. Ultimately, what we're saying, what we would believe, is that man cannot possibly hear from God because he cooks a barbecue over human excrement. Yet, as quirky as Ezekiel was, he preached the word of God straight up, and his words are found in Scripture. And so I found that churches and Christians were kind of like flavors of ice cream. Some of us are really nutty, and others are marketed as nut-free. Ice cream, guys. It's like ice cream. At the end of the day, when we preach and when we live according to the Word of God and the principles found there, we're all ice cream. And so sometimes when things come to us and the style or the approach is outside of our familiarity, it gives us the initial want to push it away. But I encourage us to look at deeper things. Consider the source. Is the person trustworthy? Do they demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit in their life? Do they have a proven record of ministry? Do people I trust them? And if they pass that test, then you can carry on. Now, it's possible that good people won't pass that test just because you don't know them. That's okay. It's possible. But once they pass that test, here's a second test that you can consider. This one says this: does what they are saying resonate with something the Lord has been speaking to you already? Does this resonate with what the Lord has already spoken to you? Now, people have been quite free over the years sharing words for me personally and sharing words for me about the churches that I have been a part of and the churches that I have led. One of these things in particular I remember at Faith Tabernacle in Halifax. It was Pastor Sheila McDonald, and it was probably 2002 or 2003, and we were praying at the end of an altar service, and I was praying, and she came over, and she just laid her hand on me, and she shared a brief message in tongues, and then the interpretation was this, and some other things, but I remember this. She said on behalf of the Lord, she was speaking prophetically, "You are my son, and I have called you into my ministry." Now, rest assured, that was not the first moment or the first time that the Lord had spoken to my heart about being called and drawn toward ministry. Nevertheless, that was an impactful moment that I remember. It was an impactful moment of confirmation. In fact, I remember in grade 8, at Maple Grove, in English class, I had Michael Drew for English, Mr. Drew, if any of you know him. He and his family are still around town. And I remember he worked us hard in grade 8. He made us write 500-word essays. Now, I know we'll all laugh about that now. Do you remember those, Ryan? You had Mr. Drew. Yeah, he made us write 500-word essays. And no lie, I remember thinking, for whatever reason, in grade 8, the worst job on the planet would be a pastor, because you have to write essays every week. No joke, not a lie. The pastor must be the worst job around, I thought, in grade 8. And some days I still wonder. Folks, except in extreme cases of rebellion or spiritual laxness, I would say that the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you a confirming word either before, during, or after you hear a word from someone else about you personally. And so don't be quick to dismiss something that someone shares. As Paul says to the church in the Thessalonians, do not treat prophecies with contempt. Let's test everything. Let's not push it off quickly, but let's wait on the Lord for his confirming word in your spirit. And if there's no sense of peace or singular direction that comes to your mind that affirms what has been spoken, then maybe the person heard wrong, or maybe it was just not for right now. So store it away in your heart and just wait. Kind of like Mary did in the Gospels when the angel spoke to her and told her what was going to be coming, she stored these things up in her heart. The same thing can be true if you're praying and you're just trying to hear from the Lord and you hear something from God, but you're not sure if it's from the Lord. Does it stick? Does it stay? Or does it pass like emotions do? The psalmist wrote in Psalm 37:4 that if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he will give us the desires of our heart. And that's maybe a misunderstood passage, because some of the youth I used to minister to would say, oh, great, I want a car and $1 million. So, Lord, you give me the desires of my heart. But I think what this passage, what the psalmist is getting at, is when we delight ourselves in the Lord, when we walk with the Lord, the desires of our heart will become like his desires. And so if we walk with God closely and we have yearnings and longings and desires and feel callings in our hearts over the long term, chances are that is the Lord confirming these things and placing these things there when we are in tune with the Lord. When Mandy and I first entertained the possibility of moving here to Evangel Assembly, it was not the first time that we had talked about, were we finished in our current ministry position? Were we done, and was the Lord moving us on? In fact, going into the fall of 2016, we were quite convinced, Mandy and I, that that was our last year in that ministry position. We were quite convinced through the Lord, through prayer, that this was our last fall. And so we did all kinds of things. We didn't share that with many people. We did put all kinds of things in place to ensure that a transition that we saw coming would happen smoothly. I believe the Lord gave us the foresight to do that. And in fact, we had thought the Lord was opening another door on the western coast of Canada. And so we were pursuing that, and we were a little bit confused about that when the door closed. Yet the Lord, we felt, had shared with us that this was our last year of ministry. And so here we were in our last year, approaching the end of our last year, with nothing else to do, and we didn't know what that meant. And then a door opened at Evangel Assembly. But even more than that, about 5 years ago, and Mandy and I are the only two, a few others that have talked about this, about 5 years ago, Evangel Assembly reached out to Mandy and I, the former lead pastor, to come and be the assistant pastor here. And so we considered that, but the timing wasn't right. We weren't ready. We didn't feel conclusion in our ministry. And we didn't feel at that time, we didn't feel at all when we were in Essex that our next move would be into an assistant role. We felt led of the Lord to wait until we were ready and he would move us into a lead role. And so it just wasn't the timing and it just wasn't the role. But I remember saying to Mandy, I just don't think this is the time. And she agreed. And I said, but I wouldn't mind being the lead pastor there one day. And then she rolled her eyes at me and told me to stop talking about future things because I daydream way too much and I just need to focus in the moments and the children that we have to take care of today, and we have too many things on our plate right now, so stop. Does that conversation go boat like that? It's okay. She helps focus me when I get too many ideas circulating around at once. But all of that to say to you that when I first spoke with the board of Evangel Assembly, when they first put out the idea of, would you be interested, would you, we feel led to invite you to preach the call here, that wasn't the first time the Lord had spoke to me about that. In fact, it resonated with some things the Lord had already put in my heart. In fact, the Lord had prepared us a year ahead for a transition, and I think, Mandy tells me, it's just me and my mind sometimes, I think even the Lord is preparing my heart for evangel even 5 years ago when we discussed an assistant position here. And so the second test, does it resonate? It was no surprise to Abraham in the Old Testament when Sarah conceived and had a child, and it was Isaac. It was no surprise to him because God had prepared him in advance. It was no surprise to Queen Esther that she was in a place and in a position to save Israel because God had prepared her for that in advance. She had been put in that place and prepared by the Lord for such a time as was then. And so when we feel that we have heard the word of God personally, or if someone else comes and shares a word of prophecy for our life, expect a confirming sense of the Lord to have already been in place or to come really soon. And if not, that's okay. It might not be for you, and it just might not be for right now, but store it away in your heart. The final test is this morning, and we're going to wrap up. I think the final way, and this is a really important way, but the final way is this: does this align with Scripture? Because it is very important to know that no word that you or I hear from the Lord is ever going to speak against the witness of Scripture that we have given to us and that we have held on to for millennia that we have in front of us. Nothing that the Lord is going to speak to me, no direction the Lord is going to send me, is ever going to work in opposition to the Word of God that we have. And so to be able to test this, we need to soak ourselves in God's word on a regular basis. To understand if what we are hearing aligns with the word of God, we need to know what the word of God says. I mean, in the New Testament, when some of the New Testament writers talk about being deceived in the last days, perhaps it's a matter of we are not even sure what it is, the foundation that we are supposed to be holding on to. And so fancy words and fancy arguments might be able to distract us away from them. But when we fill our hearts with Scripture, when we fill our internal wells with the Word of God, it will spill over into everything else in our life. Proverbs 10:32 says this: the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. We know because we've read the Word of God and we can test well. 2 Timothy 3:16 to 20, 16 says this:
all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so, folks, we don't want to diminish the ministry of prophetic words and prophecy in our churches, because it's biblical and it's valid and it's real, and Paul talks about this. But at the same time, we don't want to be so prophecy-minded that we are scripturally illiterate. And sometimes we can fall into a trap where we chase prophecies. We want to go here or we want to go there because we want to hear a word from this person or that person or another person, and we place a lot of confidence and faith in that, but we've not first read the Word of God as it has been revealed to us. Sometimes we encountered this when I was doing youth ministry a lot. We're so preoccupied with wanting to know God's will for my life. Or sometimes we just want to know, what does God have for me to do? And we spend time talking with people and we spend time praying. And those are good things. But folks, the Word of God has revealed so much about what God would have us to do. And so we can go there first, because there is so much that we can find in there. And so to wrap up this morning, we have to be walking with God and know His Word before we can begin to discern whether that word we heard is from the Lord. But when we are walking with God and when we are into His Word, we are much better suited to discern. I wish it wasn't so, because it sounds like work, but it is work to discern, was that from God? And we get better at it as we go. If we're just starting out, if you're just starting out this morning and you say, wow, I don't feel I have the maturity or the spiritual strength yet to kind of sort some of these things out, then we rely on other people who are further along in their spiritual maturity while growing on our own, so that we do not always rest on the discernment of other people. I remember in my first years of ministry, I would walk into David Sloan White's office all the time, and I'd say, hey, Pastor David, and I'd ask him a question, totally maybe unrelated to anything we were doing, but I just had questions about ministry and scripture and things, and we'd sit down, and sometimes we'd talk for a long time. I must have completely frustrated his sermon preparation some weeks, but I relied on someone who is more mature and further along spiritually. And his wife Carol, she has wisdom as well to share. She shares on social media right now as well. Again, as I said, social media can give you all kinds of mixed signals, but consider the source. Carol Sloan White's a good one. And so there will be other days too, folks, when people look to us, to you and I. You might be in that place now where people look to you for discernment, and people look to you to hear from the Lord. And so these are the three tests this morning. When you're wondering, was that from the Lord? When you read something that someone wrote, is that from the Lord? When you're praying and you have a sense, was that from the Lord? First, consider the source. If it comes from someone else, consider the source. Is it a trustworthy person? Is there a demonstrated fruit of ministry? Is that person's character demonstrate that they walk with the Lord? Do others you know and trust this person? And if not, then maybe put some question marks around it. But if it passes that test, second, does this resonate with anything the Lord is already speaking to you about? Because the Lord will already have spoke a confirming word, or He will very soon. If not, just put it in your heart and save it for another time and see what happens. And third, does it align with the Word of God? Does it align with Scripture? Because nothing that we will ever hear, Paul affirms this in Galatians, nothing we will ever hear from the Lord or from angels or from anyone, he says, that is contrary to the Word of God is valid and accurate to be followed. And so those are the three tests, the three ways that we can, as Paul tells the church, the Thessalonians, how we can test the spirits or test the words. Next week, we're going to be talking about grace is not cheap.
the tension between accepting faith by believing and receiving, as simple as that, the tension between that, yet accepting faith and being compelled to no longer behave as we once did, and the tension between the two. Grace is not cheap. Let's pray before we leave this morning. God, I thank you for this day. And I thank you for your words, Lord God. And I just pray that as we go and as we hear from you and as we share with one another, that we would be released in this ministry as you direct us, this ministry of hearing from you, Lord, with the spiritual gifts of words of knowledge and words of wisdom and the gifts of discernment, Lord. I just pray that they would be unleashed and that they would be opened, and the availability that all of us has to move in these ways would be realized, and we would gravitate toward those things as you use them as ways to build us up and to equip us and to draw our focus to you. But let us do as the Thessalonians did, test and reject what is evil, accept what is good, so that we can follow in your steps. We thank you for this, Lord. In the name of Christ, we pray together. Amen.